Hello, and welcome back to the Expansion Room. I am your host, Siobhan Larice, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that's at the intersection of deep healing and transformation and awakening for the leaders, the conscious leaders of the world. So we'll be talking about psychedelic cannabis and talking about the ethical and trauma-informed and safe ways that one can step into psychedelic work using cannabis. And so my special guest today is one of my favorite humans, Daniel McQueen. He is the author of the book Psychedelic Cannabis. And if you all have been watching this podcast for some time, I have referenced that book a few times, and we have done episodes with my colleague Sari Maglone in reference to psychedelic cannabis. And so it's lovely to have Daniel McQueen here, who authored that book and helped me to step into this work. And he is also the co-founder of the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness out in Boulder, Colorado. So welcome, Daniel.
Hey, Siobhan, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Happy to have you. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what helped you step into this work? And then we'll go into the rest of the
Yeah,
segment.
sure. That's a long story and a long journey, but I've always been interested and curious about the underlying nature of reality and spiritual practices, and I also had my own path of healing through trauma that was essential in my development as well. And I got my master's degree in counseling at Naropa University with the intention of becoming a psychedelic guide. And since then, the world really opened up to these possibilities. And so I had the opportunity to step into working as an above board legal psychedelic guide using cannabis. So cannabis was my primary ally as a teacher and healer for a long time, and really grateful for the medicine and also really grateful for all the allies and activists who helped make that possible.
Nice. I wish I had known about Naropa when I was looking to do my master's degree. I
It's a
think,
cool place. I liked it. Very experiential, mindfulness based, and it works really well with the psychedelic practices that we engage. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much for sharing that bit of information. We have talked several times, and probably for some people, it's like, oh my goodness, ad nauseum, because we've talked on this show about cannabis, and so many people still think of it as recreational, for relaxation, for socializing, and not always. And now people do think about it in that therapeutic way, right? You can, use it medicinally and the science backing that and so forth, but people are still not fully aware of the transformational effects, the somatic and conscious healing effects that cannabis at the psychedelic level can bring. And so I still hear from people sometimes that sentence, cannabis is not a psychedelic. Cannabis can't be a psychedelic, right? And so what makes cannabis, psychedelic cannabis, reliable in this arena as a psychedelic, right? And how does it go from relaxing and recreational to something that can help transform someone's life?
That's an important question, and I think we want to acknowledge that, like, it's a worldview shift to consider psychedelic or cannabis as a psychedelic. So I get that that's not an easy leap for a lot of us, and this is a part of modernity and also the war on drugs and the harm that was caused by the war on drugs and criminalizing communities of color and non-mainstream communities and ways of being. So let's just acknowledge the harm and the trauma associated with cannabis, because that's part of the where the disbelief comes from. But if we take a step back and look at the historical life of cannabis, it's been acknowledged as a sacred tool and a psychedelic for thousands of years, beginning in ancient India. And in the and in Hindu, one of the names of cannabis is actually Vijaya, and it means the queen who conquers all worlds. And so there's a deep respect for this medicine. And from China and India, it spread across through Africa and into the United States, through Jamaica and the Caribbeans, and it landed in America and has been instrumental in the development of the United States. You know, in the early as a product, you know, hemp seeds were really important to the United States. And so it's only until very recently that it's been really misunderstood as like solely a recreational drug or comparing it to alcohol, right? And at low doses, it is, you know, it's very pleasurable. It's positive. Comparing it to alcohol, like it doesn't kill people, you know, and it doesn't cause harm to our bodies. So I'm really grateful for that. But we as a culture, though, we forgot how to use it. And so what I, you know, began to explore and through with friends and allies, you know, this isn't something I invented or anything like that, but renegotiated, I guess, with the medicine and brought it back to our culture in a new way. And so to make cannabis psychedelic, we have to let go of it being a recreational medicine. And we are required to set up a space that can hold that safely. So you're not going to, no matter how much cannabis you smoke, you're generally not going to have a psychedelic experience if you're just hanging out with your friends, right? But you know, creating a safe container for the experience, and then to acknowledge that the effects are dose dependent. It's super simple. So the idea is you know, like you take more of the medicine, and that helps you reach these psychedelic states. Now, the problem with just smoking any cannabis is that it can have other side effects. One, you know, paranoia and anxiety on the sativa side, on the elevated side of the medicine. And if you smoke too much of an indica, you're just going to feel droopy or sleepy or, you know, kind of dull. But what we found is if you combine these two types of strains, sativas and indicas, the indica helps reduce the anxiety of the sativa, and the sativa helps keep you awake and real creative, and it reduces the droopiness of the indica. And so what we are left with is a really elevated, creative, when our eyes are closed, we can have intervisual experiences akin to mushrooms, but with a really deeply relaxed and felt sense safety in the body. And so that's why it's really beneficial for trauma resolution. We can go into more of that if we want, but you know, so dose dependence, then the right space and container. Music is lovely in this medicine, and then the last piece is just posture and not holding yourself up and letting yourself relax, laying down. In yoga traditions, you know, in the Savasana, just basically laying on your back with your legs and arms uncrossed. There's something about that process that really amplifies the experience. And so, if you can let yourself sink into that space, it really does become very classically psychedelic, but with the emotion, you know, like very much like psilocybin mushrooms or ayahuasca, DMT, but with a lot of emotional support like MDMA. So it has a lot of support in it as well. So, you know, just through exploration and curiosity and listening to the medicine and our experiences, we really have dialed this process in. And there's, you know, there's a lot, there can be a lot more nuance than just adding an indica and sativa together, but that's the gist of it. And then we've dialed it in even more beyond that for like trauma resolution work and spiritual exploration work.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you for that. I think that's the, I've said on this show a lot of times, it's the parentheses, right? It's the that first parenthesis of preparation, like where are you going to be, right? Setting an intention and talk and really taking good medicine, not just something that is randomly grown, but you want good, clean
No,
medicine, like you talk
that's
about,
definitely
right?
a valid variable as well. Yeah, I'm assuming that. I live in Colorado, so I'm
Right,
kind of
you've got good medicine.
assuming that we're starting with really good medicine.
Here on the East Coast, this. Sketchy a little
Very
time.
true. Fair enough. Yeah, so don't assume that the cannabis we're used to smoking 20 years ago is what we're
Oh,
talking about here. We're, or what
exactly.
you get down the street. We're talking
Yes.
about really high quality, clean, organically grown, really wonderful smelling flower. And that's a definite variable for sure.
Yeah, and making that blend. I think most, not all people realize you could blend. I know I didn't know that before meeting you, that you could blend strains and create the kinds of effects that you're looking for. And so that I think is key too, is that encouraging people to really think about, okay, this does not have to nor need it look like any other way you've used cannabis before.
Right.
So
You've got to step out of that old mindset. It is literally like a worldview, right? And you just like and being unconscious and smoking the J or hanging out with friends. This is a very different experience. And the blending is part of the ceremony and it's really a special piece. But if you get the right strains, they cancel out the negative effects
That's
and
right.
amplify the positive, which is something we discovered, we knew blending was great, but didn't realize the real potential until we started to dial it in. And that's really where the magic is in these blends. And like I said, just like the sativa indica blend is like the very foundational blend, and there's a lot we can play with that goes way beyond that.
Exactly. Well, thank you. So we're about to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about preparation and the screening and what you want to ask yourself if you want to step into this work, and whether or not you're doing this with a qualified guide or you want to step into this work on your own. What are the things you should be thinking about? So
Yeah.
come on back in a couple of minutes.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. I'm your host, Siobhan Lurice, and today we are talking about psychedelic cannabis at the intersection of deep healing and transformation. We find ourselves talking with Daniel McQueen, and we talked a little bit about the history, right? The what you do in order to create a more psychedelic experience with cannabis. And it's really that mindset shift, that mindset change that people have to have, that paradigm shift in how they look at cannabis and cannabis use. And in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the trauma-informed care that goes into prepping for this kind of work. And whether a person is wanting to work with a trained guide or to step into this work the way you describe it in your book. And that was one of the things I loved about reading your book the first time, was that you gave almost like a blueprint that people could use into stepping in this work, into this work. And it really was about the state of the world and where we are, and almost like an urgency where people needed to have that consciousness, that awakening, that transformation, right? And so can you say a little bit more about that piece? Because we seem to be in even more interesting time than when your book came out.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, an interesting time is a way to describe it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a sense of urgency, you know, and I started, you know, the spirit of cannabis, it's a flower, it's a plant, it grows everywhere. So like the symbolism of cannabis, and you share it, right? You share it with friends. And we wanted to make it as accessible as possible, you know, not hold on to these ideas as a technology or something that, you know, we profit on, right? Not everybody has access to a psychedelic trauma specialist, and the world needs a lot of trauma resolution right now, right? And so the idea is, how do we empower people to do this work on their own? And I don't know if you want me to jump into this right now, but, you know, screening and preparation is like one of the biggest factors. So, you know, so what questions can we ask ourselves so that we know we're ready for the work? And to not put ourselves in harm's way doing it, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I think of trauma resolution and healing. You know, you're talking about the intersection of healing and transformation. They really are the same process. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we're letting go of the past and our healing and trauma resolution, but we're stepping into creative problem solving for our future. And cannabis as a medicine is like really primed for like problem solving in both of those areas. And it's not so strong like a high dose mushroom journey, where people can't take it safely on their own, right? Yeah. So it's the safest psychedelic for people to use on their own. So we wanted to give as many tools as we could to help people do this work without me being in the room, you know, honestly. And I love it when people come here to visit and do work with me, but I know that's not available for everybody. So
right.
I felt obligated in a way to share what we were doing.
Yeah. Some of the questions that you would recommend for people to ask themselves, or even to ask a guide, like sometimes people don't know what they don't know, and so they have to ask questions. So what would some of those be in the realm of either mental health, trauma, even physical health?
Readiness and for a journey like this.
Yeah,
let's unpack that together. You know, so, you know, there's some basic ones. You know, there are some mental health contraindications with any psychedelic, but with cannabis for sure too. And the big one is psychosis or history of psychosis. You know, that's just not something you really want to mix with any medicines. Bipolar disorder is something we want to pay attention to, but some people are able to use cannabis to help treat their, and you know, the symptoms of bipolar disorder. But for other people, it's not a good medicine for them. So most of the time, though, people know the answers to those two questions, right? Another one is like, if there's trauma in the room, PTSD in the room, it's like, how significant is it? And do I really want to do this on my own? Do I have the skills necessary to engage this? You know, again, we've done everything we can to prepare everybody for these journeys. So it's not black and white, do it or don't, but maybe you start out at a lower dose and you don't do, you don't go for the full psychedelic journey doses right away. And then just a general stability in life, like how am I in my life? Do I have, you know, like, am I functional? Do I have a roof over my head? And do I, you know, am I, if I don't have a job, am I secure in my finances and things? I think that's really important to consider as well. What, you know, the question is, what do I need to do to prepare for one of the potentially most transformational experiences of my life? And how do I take that seriously without being rigid around it, you know? So those are the areas that I was really thinking about before our call of what I want to, you know, mention in this kind of screening pre-journey phase.
Yeah. And those are all important, especially with the psychosis. You don't want to find out you were teetering in that area of psychosis and then get, you know,
launched off
of
that.
Others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be really destabilizing. But I mean, with cannabis, like, really, it is the safest. And People generally, you know, like again, if you have any concerns around psychosis, you know, that's something you would really want to just check in with a mental health provider regardless, right?
Right.
And it's easy to unpack and to just determine if that's a real, you know, concern or not, you know.
Absolutely. I think the other piece is the physical. And so maybe
Yeah,
if they have
physical.
heart issues, that should be something that's on their radar.
To a degree, of course, you know, like, you know, blood pressure goes up a little
Right.
bit, right? But again, it's cannabis is generally the safest of the medicines. Heart health, and then just lost it. You know, most medications are okay to use with cannabis, but that would be something you'd want to check in around. But there's not a lot of contraindications with cannabis, unlike some of the other psychedelics or MDMA. So, you know, that's
Yeah.
not a huge concern. What we found, generally speaking, because the endocannabinoid system is throughout the body, most autoimmune disorders and other illnesses actually improve when people use cannabis intentionally. So, you know, so
I am
it's,
one of those people who
yeah, me
experienced
too. Yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen incredible transformational healing on the physical, with these practices, not just smoking pot, but with these,
Right,
you know,
with
with
these
these
actual
practices.
containers. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And what would be some of the grounding practices that people would want to consider as they prepare for this before and even during? What
Grounding
would,
practice,
yeah.
yeah, so we call that resourcing too in our space, you know, so like the ability to take a break from a big experience and return to the breath. If we can add, you know, share one technique, that would be the one I would say is just being in relationship with your breath, not just any breath, but actually it seems like the most helpful is belly breathing, and intentionally turning towards and relaxing into the experience. And then, you know, knowing that it's okay to take breaks. Before journeys, you know, journaling is really important, and intention, we call it setting and intention, contemplation, meditation, body scan meditations, anything, any sort of pampering, self-care, really, really great before these journeys. You want to be as resourced as possible. You know, and know that like one other area to think about when like resourcing is that reminding myself that transformation is inevitable, healing is inevitable, and that I can just relax into the experience and not push too hard and not try to do too much. In some ways, we try to stop doing things in these journeys, you know, slow way down. So that would be my number one go-to is breath coaching, right? So that's one of the gifts of being like, having a guide in the room is helping remind you of the things you can do in the space to self-regulate. And sometimes that's harder to do on our own, but it's not impossible though. People with meditation practices really thrive in these journey spaces with cannabis.
Very true. Very true. I've seen that. I've experienced that for sure. I think the other thing that people will want to consider if they're doing this on their own, no one in the space with them is letting someone know what they're doing. Right? It's kind of like just having a person that they check in with, say, "Hey, I'm about to go in," and that's the person they check in with when they come out of the journey.
That's really important is no, and not only being safe, but knowing you're safe, knowing there's support around you, and knowing that there's somebody you can call or connect with if you need to. That takes like 90% of the edge off of it, off the top right away, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be someone in the house, but it's generally, you know, with cannabis, big medicine experiences, you do want like some backup support if you can as a safety net, you know, somebody you can call, an ally. So that's a really good one too, Siobhan.
And then what is like the aftercare, the other parenthesis?
I love the parentheses. The aftercare for me is self-care in a way that's like supportive, like what'd you say? Comfort foods, you know, making sure you got good nutrition and, you know, and you're feeling good in your body. I love hot baths after these journeys. I think that really helps me, but also movement and getting outside, yoga, walking, getting the blood moving again, feeling your humanness and your physical body after these big experiences. And then the last piece of the parentheses that I think is most important is like really start implementing the things and the ideas and the insights that you receive. Don't just be passive in that state, but oftentimes there's an opening after these journey experiences where you can step into something that you're really called to. And so that's a really important part of it is, and that takes it out of the recreational trip place and puts it into the transformational place.
Absolutely. I've talked a lot about integration with people on this show as well as, in my practice, and that is the thing that really that intention setting that you talked about in the beginning and then doing this piece at the end to follow is really what helps it to be more than a recreational experience every time, every time.
Allison, my wife asks the question, what's possible now that wasn't before? And that's a fun one to really consider. And then to go do it, to go try it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the piece. And I'm glad you mentioned the, getting outside after a journey, walking around, feeling human, eating good food. I always tell people when they're going to set these things up, even if they're working with me or working on their own, make sure you make food before you do the journey, or make sure you have food already cooked and prepared so that when the journey is over, you can ground with something really good and hearty and,
And after
homemade.
cannabis, it tastes really good
And it
too,
tastes right.
See, their munchies are a real phenomenon,
So true. And you want it to be real food, not just snackish food. So, so true. All right, we're going to take our second break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about integration. So come on back.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the expansion room, where today we are talking about psychedelic cannabis with our guest, Daniel McQueen. And we ended last segment talking a little bit about integration. And so I want to continue that a little bit in this segment. And I'm thinking of one of my favorite topics, and some of my clients call me the boundaries queen. And so I'm thinking, like, what boundaries would a person need to put in place or at least consider when stepping into this work, whether they have a guide or whether they're going to do this solo?
In the session, boundary, we call it a consent agreement, right? And you want a consent agreement with yourself as well as anybody else in the room, including guides. And if you're working with a guide, that's really their job to do as well. But you want to make sure you know you're safe, right? So certain boundaries is like you got to trust everybody that you're with, and to not sidestep that or skip that. And then to have like consent agreements around touch, And right relationship to safety and respect of other people's, agency and sovereignty, right? And then the space itself, like, defining what the space is with a commitment that you're not going to leave that space, right? You're not going to run off in the middle of it, or leave your home in the middle of it, or drive afterwards. That, the space might be your bedroom or your living room. If you have a backyard, maybe your backyard, maybe not, and the bathroom, and that's like, you got to commit to these safety. So even if God came down and told you to change the agreement after you take the medicine, like, no, you're committed to, those boundaries. So I'm a queen of boundaries as well, right? So I really appreciate it. And then after the journey, I'd say don't make big decisions right away. That's a real big one, because sometimes the message will be true, but when we sit with it for a little while after the journey, it might shift a little bit here and there. And so if you jump into a new adventure too quickly, you might be kind of missing the mark. So for some people, we say a couple of weeks. Other people, though, we say, like, give yourself a couple of months before you make big decisions.
Yeah.
The one exception to that is to stop doing something that's harmful. Sometimes people have an opening to break habits or addictions and things like that, or make a change in their life. So that's like, I'm choosing to stop doing something. That's something that you can generally, step into right away. There's a nice opening for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. But packing up all of your things and moving across country, you might
want
to
wait a little while. Quitting your job or like leaving a relationship, like those big life decisions. You want to really sit with it, because I found there's a lot of richness in that integration period where more information comes that's required.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think too, the other piece of the boundaries is knowing who you can share this experience with, right?
Yeah.
And who not to.
Yeah, not everybody understands that it's like healthy and vibrant to smoke cannabis and lay on your floor and turn inward, right? Like, exactly. There can be a lot of judgments in that, right? And so so it's a very special experience. But I tell people, it's private. Let it be private for you, and only share those who can, who can support you. That doesn't mean like agree with you 100%, but like has your back and wouldn't judge, because it can be a real delicate space after a journey.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. In your framework that you outline in the book so beautifully, I believe this solo work can be very much incorporated into like conscious leaders' lives, right?
Yeah.
Conscious leaders, high achievers, entrepreneurs, creative types, for them to be able to step into this work. And when you look at that group of people, what would be some of the essential ingredients for that self-guided work? And are there particular boundaries that people should never cross in doing this work without a facilitator?
Yeah, I think we've touched on most of the boundaries stuff. Entrepreneurs and agents, leaders, generally are healthy individuals, are really driven. But we all have glitches, and we all have roadblocks and inner obstacles and things like that. So, so cannabis and any of the psychedelics, but I love cannabis as a problem-solving tool, because it explores what we're called to do in the world, and then gives us very specific, concrete solutions to what we wish to create in the world. It's like, it can be very specific. But in addition to that, it also helps us turn towards the areas in our body that we feel stuck in, and our belief systems that we feel stuck in. And so being an entrepreneur or a leader with working with cannabis, you have to be willing to look at yourself. And that's hard to do sometimes, right? To acknowledge shadow aspects or old injuries or belief systems that are outdated. And what I found is, even if it's really, really hard, we're always gifted with a solution. And that our job as leaders and entrepreneurs, or, people who create in the world is to then implement what we discover in the space. And so imagine like getting this answer to a problem in our lives, the removal of an obstacle, and then an impetus or like a drive, like this innate drive that will push us further into it. But it's we're always left with choice and agency. So it's up to us to choose to do it. And what I found is people who don't integrate, you know, like bring in the solutions that they see, have a hard time. They start to spin out and get burdened, you know, or like, you know, it causes a burden in their lives. And so when you see the solution in a way, we almost feel spiritually obligated to engage it. You know, yeah. Does that make sense? Like there's consequences if we don't engage it. So cannabis, you know, again, cannabis, one of the benefits of cannabis can be used on a really pretty regular basis, you know, like once a week, you know, an entrepreneurial practice once a week, once every other week kind of thing. Whereas you really can't take other psychedelic medicines that frequently. Right. So with cannabis, it can become like an ongoing practice of integration, preparation, journey, clearing, integration, stepping into co-creation, then preparate, you know, and just like just this unfolding movement forward. And it can get a momentum to it, you know. So it really turning towards self is the key to all of these things. And then being very strategic in the implementation, you know.
Absolutely. When is a good time for anyone who's doing this work solo to maybe step into a guided experience? I imagine that for some people, some things may come up that they're surprised about. They're like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
They'd be like, didn't see that coming. What would be some of those times?
Yeah, right. So somatically, it's like a felt sense of stuckness and you can't figure out how to get through it. That would be an area I would pay attention to. Or like you said, maybe you if I were somebody working and I've encountered situations where I uncover something I didn't know was there that can be really, really hard. And those would be the moments when you say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't actually know what to do with this content or memory or belief system. That would be when I would really start seeking out a guide. And I'm very blessed. You know, I have good mentors and, you know, and so as a guide, I seek out guidance as well. So for me, it's just part of the process. You know, like we're one of the things around psychedelic medicine work and is to do it in community versus solo. Like most psychedelic medicine people, practitioners are isolated because of legalization issues and criminality and, you know, global judgment on all these practices. And so stepping out, like even if you're doing solo work, it's really important to have a community around you. Catch you if you stumble, and then also to be there to lean on when you need somebody. And then as far as like guides go, like really, you know, like it's the gnarly stuff. Like when you're like, I don't want to deal with that on my own, right? Like that doesn't mean don't engage it, but like, what does real support look like? You know, what if you gave yourself the gift of real support? And that's for real. You know, these are real specialized experiences to be a guide. In a lot of people, it's a lot more than just giving somebody a substance and sitting with them. You know, there can be a lot of things that guides can do in those spaces that just wouldn't have even considered trying on, you know.
Fair point. I was contacted a few years ago by someone who couldn't necessarily afford a full journey experience. They also didn't live near here.
Yeah.
But she had the wherewithal to reach out for help with just, you know, the preparation and the intention setting, go and do her journey on her own. And then she came back to do the integration, which was so beautiful, right? It's like, I wasn't there in the room with her for her journey experience, but I was there for the parentheses. I was there to help her create the container and hold space for her. And I thought that was brilliant. And I think in addition to what you're saying there, that's another thing to do. It's like, yeah, seek out a guide when stuff starts to get a little gnarly. But also if something comes up, seek out a therapist who actually is either trained in this work or at least understands this work. You don't want to have
it's not gonna be judgmental.
Therapist who's judgmental.
Being curious, tell me more about that, right? Like just that question and really holding a mirror can be really instrumental to help deepen a process. So anytime you want to deepen, do it with community, do it as a reflection with an ally or friend or guide.
Absolutely nice. Well, we're about to take our final break, and when we come back, we will kind of tie this all together. And so think about, for the audience, I would love for you to think about how this could be for you to step into this work without a guide. Like, are you in a place to do that? And so we'll chat about that. Come on back.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Expansion Room. And today we've been talking about psychedelic cannabis with Daniel McQueen. And in the work of doing solo healing work in this arena, integration is really important. But for someone to even step into this work, what's the biggest question, Daniel, that you think they should or could ask themselves?
It's not necessarily a question. It's more like a felt sense or an impulse. Like, am I really pulled to do it? It's like almost a calling, you know, or a, like an intuitive requirement. And so I would invite the open-ended question of like, is this something that like I'm curious about, right? Even just the idea of being curious about it, I think is really enough. Like it can be that special. So I've really learned to trust the impulse of my clients and students when they say that. And then like some of the details, right, of preparation and readiness, you know, if you want, you know, like again, in my book, I go in through as many of the contraindications and things that you can assess yourself as you want, but that's almost secondary. It's just like, am I called to it? Am I curious about it? Have I always longed for something that I don't know what's really there, right? Like, but I'm kind of getting a glimpses of it. Anytime somebody has those curiosities, I would really invite them to explore stepping into working with psychedelics. And again, the other thing is like, it doesn't have to be black and white. Like you don't have to go to an ayahuasca retreat in the jungle of Peru as your first session. Right. Cannabis is a really good stepping stone.
Exactly.
We call it the gateway drug, right? It is like, It's like it has its purposes. And so like
Indeed.
start with like, intentional use of cannabis. If you've never used cannabis, you don't know how, like start really just low dose and set up the safest container you can. Like don't plan on driving the rest of the day, have good food, and just sit and meditate and enjoy your moment.
Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, coming back to integration, because on integration is often where the magic happens, right? That's where the
Yeah.
real transformation kind of solidifies in someone's life, settles in someone's life. And so in that first 30 days of someone maybe doing a solo journey for themselves, I feel like that first week, of course, is coming back grounding. You know, that old Buddhist term, when you come down off of the mountain and you come back to the valley, it's chop wood,
You
carry
just gotta
water.
chop wood, carry water. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You come back to life. Come back to your life. And so, what are some of the things over, say, a 4 week period that people would want to engage in or do in order to really own that integration process?
Yeah, it really depends on the person, but one of the first ones is like looking around and cleaning up your messes. Like, I know it sounds kind of basic or whatever, but that chop wood, carry water, is a very real integration technique. And what I found is like, sometimes I don't want to sit and like do cognitive things, right? It takes me a little while to land. But if I'm doing the dishes, I feel useful, I feel good about myself. And when I'm doing like physical labor, chop wood, carry water, cleaning up my messes in life, I think about the journey and I contemplate and I consider and I wonder and I even drop in a deeper, so that like contemplation piece is really important. Physical exercise again, and I'm not the best at this either, but like I'm, like yoga, movement, stretching, and then, like how can I shift my nutritional intake to just a little better? How, it's like, how can I, instead of saying, again, no black and white, I'm not doing anything wrong, we're all imperfect humans, so there's a lot of acceptance that comes with this. But at the same time, we're like, okay, can I orient 10% more to better health and well-being, right? And then once you just keep doing that 10% over and over again, things can really shift quickly. And then, again, after a couple of weeks, you're just like, okay, I've really considered this idea. I'm ready to take the leap. What risks can you take in life that can, make you a better human being? Or at least, even if you fail, you'd really try to do something spectacular. Like, I like the idea of risk taking and to not always playing it safe, right? So, but that doesn't mean we can't do it from a really grounded, deliberate space. So, so those are my thoughts. And as far as like 4 weeks goes, like, with cannabis, you could do a once a week journey. They don't have to be that long. You can step back into it and go into it, and then if you're really thinking long term, like get training, like education, read books about it, learn about meditation, and cultivate an ongoing practice.
Absolutely. I think this work goes so well, lends itself so well to an ongoing meditation practice. I
Oh,
know
100%.
me stepping into this work, into this training with you, shifted my meditation practice in a way that I was completely unexpected. I was like, whoa. It's
What
like
did you notice, Shervon? Yeah, what did you notice?
I didn't know how much deeper it could go. I mean, I'm a
Yeah.
student of Tantra yoga. I had done 5 years of training, and cannabis just like dropped me in even deeper,
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a reflection of you in a way, right? Because people with a meditation or therapy practice, they say after I did this journey, everything opened up again, everything deepened. I'm in another level of my journey. And so that's really a reflection of you as well. And that you had the foundation to deepen with the cannabis. But, you know, tantra and cannabis, I mean, it's like it goes way back. Cannabis has
Oh
been
yeah,
used
those two go
in
together.
these, you know, these
Yeah.
traditions for a long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. And some micro practices I think of for like leaders and some of the clients that I've worked with is like having a morning intention setting practice, having a way to kind of drop back in throughout the day into any mindfulness pauses, those kinds of things, gentle breath work where you just come back to the breath, come back to who you are, self-compassion throughout the day instead of beating yourself up, that kind of thing. I think all of those things for leaders are, can be indispensable, especially once they've stepped into this work as well.
You know, I read recently, I was listening to a leader, you know, talk about this. And one of the things that I'm really sitting with in my own practice is like, how do I want to show up? Not what do I want to say or what do I want to do, but how do I want to show up in this dynamic or relationship or
Absolutely.
friendship? And that's been something I've really been sitting with, you know, as part of my practice. So yeah, I agree, like returning to remembering in these little ways. Again, it's not about that one big experience anymore. Throw away that idea of psychedelic journey, that one time mushroom experience and your whole life is different. It needs to be an ongoing practice, and those micro intentions I think are really essential.
They move us along. They really do. Absolutely. What would be some of your final thoughts as we wrap up this conversation, Daniel?
Yeah, great. You know, one of the things I just like to say is we have everything we need. We just forget to ask and to turn towards it. And so, you know, to if you can find that courageous moment to consider possibilities, consider our bigness, and live into our potential. And that, like, the universe reflects back when we do that. There's something about, like, I've had to take a lot of chances in the last 14 years doing this work, bringing cannabis in. It's not always been easy, but every time I've taken big steps, something has met me and supported me in that. But I was required to take that first leap, I think. And it gets easier in some ways, but at the same time, it doesn't, because the steps just get bigger too. So maybe we get more used to it or something like that. But the other thing is community, right? Like, do this in community. That's where the magic happens. It's way easy to sit on the mountaintop alone and meditate and reach enlightenment. But if you can, you know, like, how do I want to be, right? Like, and again, I am no way perfect in any of these ways, right? So acceptance is really important, but acceptance with striving, right? Like, what does that look like? And so for me, growth edges are community. And as you say, the world is a little crazy right now. So like, how do we, you know, we can use these medicines to heal the rifts between our peoples, right? And between people. And I think that's really one of the most important areas that we can focus on as healers and leaders is how do we bring people together in these really weird, hard times, you know, and to not buy into the psychosis that's occurring in politics right now. You know, like, we're way bigger than that, you know. So those are
Love that.
maybe a few thoughts there, you know.
We are way bigger than that. Very true.
We just forget, we give our power away, right? And so psychedelics, cannabis too, it's about reclaiming our agency, reclaiming our power within community.
Absolutely. Woo. Wonderful. On that note, thank you so much, Daniel, for coming on, having this powerful and grounded conversation with me. Are there ways that the audience can reach out if they want to either step into this work from the training side or get more information?
Yeah, we have a training program, and we teach people how to be guides. And we also have a clinic here in Boulder where we work with cannabis, which is lovely and so grateful for it. But we also work with ketamine. And then in Colorado, it's legal now to work with psilocybin mushrooms and DMT. So we work with four medicines at the center. So if you're just curious and you want to explore, you don't know how to start, you can always contact us. MedicinalMindfulness.org is one of our main websites, and that'll lead you to all the other ones as well. So I'll just leave it at that. And then, come for a visit. And if you're real serious, like, again, this, you don't have to be a guide to be a game, you know, like a world changer, right? So these skill sets, our training is really for those who are ready to be transformers in the world. So just like yourself, and like the world really needs it, right? So especially East Coast and where you live, right? So so we're all about really paying it forward and helping people grow in these areas.
Wonderful. I'm excited because Maryland may be joining Colorado in legalizing psychedelics.
That's
the
great.
The task force has spoken and turned in what their findings and recommendations are. And we just have to wait for next year's
mushrooms meeting. Too. I mean, mushrooms just mushrooms too. Or other medicines
mushrooms,
too?
Mushrooms, all the natural occurring psychedelics.
No shit. That's great. You know.
Perfect.
Sorry, I don't mean to cuss.
You can. It's you fine. Know,
that's really great. No, everybody, the movement, the revolution is happening. Even,
revolution is
you know,
happening.
It's transforming the world right now. So that's really great.
Yeah. So we're fingers crossed that by summer we'll know the answer.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's good. I hadn't heard that yet with Marilyn. So good news. Yeah.
Good news indeed. So thank you. Tell everyone out there I said hello. And
for sure.
To the audience, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Expansion Room. And if you want to continue the conversation, you can come and join us on our online community, the Expansion Room, which is housed on the Circle platform. So we can continue this talk. Until next time on next Wednesday, 5 p.m. here on talkradio.nyc. I hope you all have a great week. Take care.
Thanks, everybody.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.